Hey, health junkies. It's time for The Health Fix. Join your host, Dr. Janine Krause, as she gives you a dose of what you need to know and do right now to take control of your health from the inside out, to rebel against aging, look damn good, fight stress, and laugh every day.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about food preparation and food choices. And the reason I wanted to do this podcast specifically right now is because I'm struggling with a couple patients in my office who we've put on diets to help with reducing their blood sugars and reducing inflammation and cholesterol and things of that nature. And we've lowered their processed carbohydrates and kind of put them sort of towards a keto diet, but not. If you've listened to any of my podcasts, you will know that I'm not a huge proponent of ketosis diets and super high protein diets. And this podcast is really going to tell you why. But I've struggled with these patients, and you know, they were adhering to what I was saying in terms of how to cook the foods and whatnot, but I didn't realize that there were a couple things I was missing in my descriptions and my instructions in terms of really how to cook your food without damaging your food and making it damaging for your body. So what the heck am I talking about here? I'm talking about the formation of things called advanced glycation end products, otherwise known as AGEs, which I find absolutely kind of funny because they age you, and their actual short term, if you call it, or their, what is the name of that? Well, anyway, their abbreviated term, the AGE, advanced glycation end products, spells out age and they age you. So I find it funny. There you have it. So these glycotoxins, as they're known, are glucose molecules that bind to proteins and fats when food is cooked and when it's heated to a high temperature. So let me change my wording there. I said when food is cooked. When food is cooked at a very high temperature. And what is cooked at a high temperature? A lot of processed foods have to be cooked at a high temperature to make them stable for being on a shelf. Things like crackers, cookies, chips, things of that nature. And we'll talk about that here in a little bit in terms of how these things affect your body. But advanced glycation end products, otherwise known as AGEs, these guys are significant because they are linked to worsening diabetes, causing kidney disease, increased aging in the fact that you can actually visibly see someone age fast, meaning their skin's going to wrinkle more. You're going to see the browning effect on their skin. Now, atherosclerosis, otherwise known as hardening of the arteries, is also related to high consumption of AGEs. Non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, mitochondrial fatigue and damage are also related to the AGEs, advanced glycation end products. And these things are something you really want to be thinking about, because if you're worried about how you look, you want to look good into your hundreds. This is a big deal because these guys will attack your collagen and elastin in your skin. And let's face it, collagen and elastin in the skin are going to decline over time just because that's what happens. And AGEs, advanced glycation end products, do naturally occur over time. But if you can slow down the amount of them that you're creating or putting into your body, heck yeah, by all means, you want to do that, because now you're going to have a younger body. And who doesn't want that? So AGEs specifically go after the tissues in your body that have a slow cellular turnover. So these are things like the cardiovascular system, so the walls of your arteries and veins, your connective tissue. So this is tendons, ligaments, things of that nature. Your skin in particular, which is your connective tissue, the skin that you see outward, your face, your neck, your chest, all of these things that ladies are super concerned about as they get older, and guys should be. These are big deals. These are the tissues that are going to be affected by these advanced glycation end products. Nerve tissue, kidney tissue, also affected by these. I see a lot of folks as they're getting older having issues with tendons and ligaments becoming stiff, also finding that nerves are becoming more hypersensitive. We have more neuropathies, things of that nature. It could be related to how you're cooking your food. And so I'm going to talk today about what you can do and how to change this, because there are things you can do, and that's the beauty of it. So think of this as your public service announcement of awareness in terms of what you're eating and how you're cooking your food. So I mentioned before that these advanced glycation end products occur when sugar is being combined with proteins and fats. So this is a glucose reaction with protein and fat. It's actually called a Browning reaction. It's really the reaction that occurs when you got that golden crispy surface on the crusty edges of, say, cornbread or lasagna or your fried chicken or even your cauliflower. It's the good stuff, right? I love the crispy ends, but that's the Browning reaction. And it's, if you think of it this way, it can be very similar to how you brown and get yellower as you get older. Your skin becomes stiff, it becomes yellow, it becomes brown, it's kind of crispy. Ew, gross. But I don't like to give people this gross aspect of what's happening here, but at least it gives you a sense of, okay, so your skin's getting stiff and more yellow and brown as you age, and your food, as it's being heated at high temperatures, gets crispy on the surfaces and brown. Now, am I telling you never to eat the crispy ends of your cornbread or lasagna or things of that nature? No, it's just something that you want to keep in mind, that it's not the best thing to be eating all the time. Like, I think, I don't remember what company it is in terms of foods, but they advertise the burnt ends of the brisket at the barbecue joints. That's the worst freaking thing you could eat for your overall health and aging. But dang, it's good though. It is good. So it's one of these things where we have to think about, okay, balance, balance. But also, if you're eating at home, cooking in a proper way more often than not, you know, you're going to reduce your overall amounts of your AGEs. So I'm going to talk about how to cook and keep your AGEs low over time. But first, let's talk about the skin and putting things into perspective for a second, because I think one of the ways to get to people, sometimes food's not one way, but our outward appearance is the way to kind of drive this home. These advanced glycation end products really don't ramp up in the skin until after 35 years of age. By that, I mean they don't start to really cause damage till after 35. So if you're under 35 and you're listening to this, you might be thinking, I'm off the hook. No, this is the time you get on top of this, so that by the time you are 35, you're like primed not to be having a whole bunch of AGE damage in your body. Now, those of you who are over 35, this is your wake-up call to get stuff in order so that you can slow down this process that's already started in your body. So, skin cells. I found a study, and actually I found a couple studies, but this one in particular stood out the most to me. It showed brand new, so we would call them baby skin cells, so keratinocytes. Baby skin cells were introduced to glucose, to sugar, and they're put in a petri dish, and they were left there, and they were observed. And after 3 days, those baby brand new skin cells already turned into old cells from 3 days of being exposed constantly to glucose. That's kind of scary. 3 days. That's it. How many of us have been on a binger of eating a ton of sugar or, you know, eating some crispy stuff for 3 days? So what does this mean for us? It means that if skin cells are exposed to glucose for 3 days and they've already started to age in that time, that means that if you're eating lots of sugar, it's going to be damaging your skin no matter what you think. It is a problem. And if you're over 35, it's even quicker to damage there because you already have more effects happening in your system. So that's not good. Now, let's think of skin in a different aspect. Collagen is part of our tendons and ligaments. It's also part of our skin. And the turnover of collagen in the body is every 15 years. So it has what we would call a slower half-life. But if we're talking about turning collagen over every 15 years and we are eating foods that are heated high and they're processed, heavily processed, and we have a lot of sugar in the body, we're going to be having troubles with our tendons and ligaments. We're going to be having troubles with mobility of our joints. We're going to be having pain. That's going to contribute to pain in the body. We're also going to be having issues with our skin. It's going to look older. We're going to start getting wrinkles. Now, we're also going to have issues with our kidneys. We're going to have issues with our nerves. So think about those other tissues that I mentioned that were easily damaged by advanced glycation end products. The other thing is your arteries. Now, here's a crazy stat. Supposedly, the collagen in your aorta turns over every 100 years. Well, I don't know anyone that's lived to be 300 as of yet, or 200 for that matter. So that means that the collagen in our aorta is technically supposed to be very strong and stable. But we have a lot of folks who have issues with high blood pressure related to hardening of the arteries. That's hardening of the tissue of the arteries. And this hardening of the tissue of the arteries occurs because of these advanced glycation end products, because of irritation in the body, because of excess blood glucose for long periods of time. So what I'm saying here is that your cardiovascular system, if it is already damaged, if you're already seeing your blood pressure go up and it's truly related to something called atherosclerosis, you got to get on it and get that diet turned around. Now, if you're someone who's younger in your 30s and not seeing anything with your blood pressure, but you're starting to see wrinkles in your skin and you're starting to see your forehead wrinkling or say you're seeing smile lines, that's where you're going to see the damage. We don't often see it on the arteries unless someone has significant factors. Mild factors of not eating well, eating too many foods that have advanced glycation end products, you're going to see it on the skin first. That's what I'm saying. And so because you're going to see it on the skin, you're going to feel it in your tendons and ligaments. You're going to feel stiff. That is a bad thing, right? It's not good, but you're going to notice it before you're going to notice your arteries. And so paying attention to your mobility, paying attention to how much pain you have in the body, because quite possibly that pain is related to how much you can move your joints effectively and how much that of these things you're eating. So let's talk about fad diets, as I mentioned before, the ketosis diet, the high protein diets. Now, I'm not saying that I've never put anyone on these. I totally have. I always am a huge proponent of trying to get in your veggies. Get the veggies. And the reason I say that is because veggies are low in the advanced glycation end products. Now, fats and proteins are going to naturally have advanced glycation end products in them. In fact, cream cheese, butter, beef, chicken, pork, all of the different meats, even fish, have more advanced glycation end products than plant-based foods do. But the difference between their baseline levels and the levels at which a lot of people are intaking these products at is the difference of how we cook them. I think that the biggest problem right now that we're seeing with folks who have gone on the keto diet in particular is that they go for a lot of cream cheese, Parmesan cheese, the heavier, fattier cheeses to help support their diet. If you go on Pinterest right now and you look at any of the snacks for ketosis, you've got fat bombs on one end, and those are with coconut oil, which is slightly better. That is its own problems. I'm not going to go into that in this podcast. But in terms of cream cheese and Parmesan cheese crisps and all of the different treats with high amounts of cheese in them for keto snacks, this does not do well for folks. I'm really afraid of a lot of folks doing keto diets in terms of standard American diet, using processed meats, processed cheese, grilling meats, things of that nature. Whereas folks who do more of a ketosis diet that's plant-based, I see great results. And that's because avocado, raw or home toasted nuts or seeds, do not boost your advanced glycation end products comparatively to meat and cream cheese and Parmesan cheese and all the different hard aged cheeses. So this is a big deal. Something to think about if you've been pondering the ketosis diet, because what I see out there is folks eating pepperoni and sausage and beef jerky like it's going out of style, combined with all the cheeses. And those are all advanced glycation end product, like super high amounts of those damaging proteins are getting created with those foods. Yeah. And so it's a little scary. And it's also why a lot of people will say, well, I went on the keto diet and I didn't feel good. Yeah, because you're making your body more toxic because you weren't doing things right. So now let's talk a little bit about the actual processing of food here. Maybe you might say, well, I eat clean. I make my food at home. Yes, but are you grilling? Are you broiling? Are you roasting? Are you searing? Are you pan frying or even deep frying your food? If you do that, you're going to take a food that might have some, so meats, for example, might have some of the advanced glycation end products in them, but you're going to take them from 10 to 100 times the amount that naturally occurs in them. So a lot of folks who are even on paleo and high protein types of diets, there's a lot of grilling and broiling and roasting and searing and pan frying that goes on with that type of diet too. And the higher fat the meat is, the worse. And so we're looking at the higher fat content, like your prime ribs and things of that nature, the worse it's going to be. Now, I know that there are a lot of huge proponents out there of the high fat diets, but what they also say, and I think a lot of people don't pay attention to, is that they're talking about not heating up these meats to a high heat, using a slow cooker method, using a poaching type of method, using a stewing type of method, where you're using moisture with heat. So moisture with heat is going to keep your AGEs low, whereas dry heat and high heats and fried heats, those are going to keep your AGEs high. Now, I have a lot of patients in my practice who love their chips and love their chips and salsa and love their snacks, like their crackers and things. But how do you think they made those Goldfish crackers? They had to take that grain that's in there, even though I know the label says whole grain wheat. Yeah, okay, but what'd you do to it? Because it didn't naturally turn that orange color for those Goldfish. We all know that. But the idea here is they take that and they heat it up to such a high amount. And then, I mean, it says baked, but it's dry baked. We're not talking about moisture, because you wouldn't want smushy, soft Goldfish crackers, would you? Or any crackers for that matter. That'd be gross. It's dry heat to high heats with oils. Doesn't do well. Grain plus oil plus dry heat and high heat equals advanced glycation end products. Whereas things that are seared in terms of, and I'm not seared, I use the wrong word, scratch that, things that are steamed, things that are poached, things that are stewed, braised, these are great ways to cook. And so I'm recommending that if you're starting to notice that you're getting all wrinkly, you're having more pain, your joints aren't moving well, you're stiff, you might be getting too many foods that are high in AGEs. So, big thing to think about here, especially for those of you that like cheese. Now, when we think of cheese, there's like fresh cheeses and then there's like super aged cheeses, like really hard cheeses. The fresher cheeses, like the fresh mozzarella, they have a lot less AGEs than foods like Parmesan or Romano, you know, like that hard stuff. So the more moisture removed from the fat, the more that you're going to have AGEs in the product. Butter, is delicious. I love grass-fed Kerrygold butter, but it's fat. It has some AGEs in it, unfortunately. And so if you love butter like I do, you got to think of it like, okay, well, just got to limit it and then work around it in terms of my other foods. So let's go back in to the foods that you want to be eating, the ways that you want to be cooking. I'm always going to say veggies, veggies, veggies till the cows come home. That's a given. You need your veggies. 6 to 8 cups a day keeps me away. Telling you. So the other big thing is grains, legumes, vegetables, fruits. Yes, I said grains and legumes. And as I've said a million times before in this podcast, it's how you cook them. They have lectins in them. That's true. Dr. Gundry isn't lying on that, that they are inflammatory for the body. But you can cook them and make them more digestible. In my research for this podcast, I found a fun little tidbit that I'm going to share with you. So steam cooking was invented by a French guy named Denis Papin, or Papin, I don't know. If you're French, you probably know how to say it better than me. No speak French. No, je pas français. I don't even know if I said that right. Those of you out there that know, I'm sorry, I probably butchered that. No hablo francés. That's how I roll. So this French guy in the 1600s developed the first pressure cooker and he called it the digester. I love this because that's what I've been saying all along about pressure cooking and steam cooking your food. It pre-digests it for you so that it's easier to digest. It removes the lectins that are inflammatory in grains and beans. And so right now we've got this popularity of Instapots and I've talked about them, but I'll be honest, I suck at using the Instapot. I'm just going to put it out there. I like using the old school pressure cooker. It's been around longer. I can make it work better. I have heard some folks using something called a Vital Clay, which is a slow cooker, and it's supposed to work a lot better than the Instapot and work faster than a crock pot, but it's like a hybrid between a crock pot and an Instapot, but it's made with clay. I've not tried one yet, but they sound very interesting, and I might check one of those out, and if I do, I'll let you know what I think of it. But the big thing here is to boil, steam, poach, braise, or stew your food versus grill, sear, roast, broil. You get the idea. Cooking with moisture. And an interesting tidbit on that is that when I was in school for acupuncture and naturopathic medicine, my Chinese professors were always talking about how Americans damage their bodies by eating too many dry foods. And I didn't really get it until I started thinking about things when I was writing up the research for this podcast that, oh my gosh, they're talking about how we dry the daylights out of our meats. And it's the same thing that a lot of the folks who are talking about keto diets and things of that nature, they mention, you know, how we overcook our food and we dry it out and how that's not great for our health. And it's all coming together now in my brain. It's only taken me, God, I've been out of school 11 years. It's taken me 11 years to put it all together from my Chinese professors. And so I can imagine for the folks out there that are trying to figure out why their cholesterol is not going down, why their blood sugar is not going down, why they're still diabetic, and they've cut out all the imaginable carbs that they could possibly cut out, it's probably because of diet in terms of how you're cooking the food and the particular foods that you're eating and how many processed foods that you're eating. So an interesting tidbit that someone's definitely going to probably ask me or has been thinking about is, what about microwaving? So I think the microwave has been demonized for a long time. Let's face it, I grew up in the era of my mom microwaved everything because it was new and cool and quick, and I didn't like microwaves. And I actually really just started using a microwave again in the last year because my life has got to the point where I have to warm up foods at work and I eat all my meals at work these days. And so, of course, I wanted to know about, well, what about microwaving? And it turns out that if you're cooking something less than 6 minutes in the microwave, it is not going to cause your item to get advanced AGEs. So AGEs are not going to be created if you're microwaving. I think the takeaway here is, more than anything, is don't cook your food in the microwave, just warm it up. And, you know, really at this stage of the game, I don't know how many people who are actually cooking their food in the microwave. They are just warming. It's the processed food that you're taking out of a package that was heated up ridiculously way before it got to you. That's more of the problem. If you made your stew at home and you're just warming it up in the microwave, hopefully in glass, don't use plastic, that is totally fine as long, I think, as you're not going over 6 minutes. That's what the research has shown so far. Now, another interesting thing is steaming potatoes in the microwave. That seems to be okay as long as it's less than 6 minutes. So I guess you just get small potatoes. You can do that in 3 minutes from what I've learned. Now, for those of you who love grilled meat, for those of you who love to roast and broil your meat, there is a way to hack this. Thank goodness, right? So research has shown that if you marinate in vinegar or lemon juice for at least an hour, this lowers the amount of AGEs that are produced in your meat. So that's a good thing. Now your meat's going to naturally have its AGEs, but you can at least lower it by half if you've marinated in vinegar or lemon juice, which is awesome. So the moral of the story here is make sure if you're going to grill some meat, you have marinated it for at least an hour, or if you're going to broil something, or if you're going to roast something, just get out that acidity. Same thing goes for your veggies as well, because roasting the veggies also does cause increased AGEs. It's not just the meat, just so I'm clear on that. So adding lemon, lime juice, any type of citrus can also help, even the vinegar. If you don't like drinking your apple cider vinegar, toss it on your veggies before you roast them. There you go. So I've talked about foods that are high in AGEs, and I've talked about foods that are low in AGEs and how to cook in a more healthy. That's a very good way of English. Jeez. In a healthier way. And by that meaning the boiling, the steaming, the poaching, the braising, and the stewing. The idea here is cooking with moisture. Don't expose your food to high temperatures and low moisture. You want lower temperatures, higher moisture. That's the moral of the story here. Be patient with your cooking. Food prep ahead of time. Don't try to bust out a dinner in like 10 minutes when you get home. That never works anyway for anybody. We end up eating junk food by the time we're trying to cook our food. And food prep, meal prep, it's really important and it'll save you in the long run. And it's going to lower the amount of AGEs in your diet on average. And probably by, well, since we know it's 10 to 100 times the amount, if you are going to grill or you're going to use any form of dry heat, you're going to lower it by 10 to 100 times. That's huge. So what has research shown in the case of altering your diet and altering your food preparation techniques to decrease aging signs? Well, we found that in 4 weeks, you can reduce oxidative stress, meaning folks who had diabetes, we are reducing their inflammation markers in their body. And so what I'm talking about here in terms of inflammation markers, I'm talking about C-reactive protein. These are tests that you can get and ask your doctor for via your blood. You can get them when you get your cholesterol checked. You can get them when you just go in for a general checkup. C-reactive protein is general inflammation in the body. HSC-reactive protein is your cardiovascular reactive protein. You can also get your insulin levels tested to see insulin resistance. Some specialty labs will look at something called HOMA-IR. That shows up with a test called lipoprotein fractionation studies. So I know I'm throwing a ton of big words out right now. What that means is you can look to see the particles of your cholesterol molecules. So your good and bad cholesterol molecules, you can see the sizes of them. And you can also get an insulin resistance score, so an IR score, meaning you can see how much trouble your body has dealing with carbohydrates and blood sugar elevations. And this is huge because this can tell you if you're setting yourself up for diabetes or if you already have diabetes. This can show you in terms of how healthy are you and if you're improving. So your insulin resistance score should go down if you're eating foods with lower amounts of AGEs. And this study, in fact, showed, it was a four-week study. It was women, and it was women in their 70s that had diabetes. And it showed that in 4 weeks of eating lower AGE foods and changing their food preparation to do this, they lowered their amount of inflammation in their arteries. They lowered their kidney disease status. And their diabetes, so meaning their blood sugar levels, went down. I don't know how many people I see in my practice, unfortunately, that are in some of the beginning stages of kidney failure. It's shocking. And I think the kidney failure really has a lot to do with the amount of glycation end products that they're consuming based on their diet. And so this is a big deal. I see a lot of connections here, and that's why I really wanted to talk about these guys and the food preparation components here, because so many people are coming in overweight and having difficulty losing weight. And I already had a podcast, a couple podcasts ago, talking about insulin resistance. And this is the next step. If someone goes on a lower carbohydrate diet, and I mean, when I say lower carbohydrate, I'm talking processed carbs are out. I'm talking you're eating your fruits, you're eating your veggies. If someone does that and we don't get a lot of change, it has to go back to how is this person processing their food? How are they making their food at home? And how much processed foods are they eating? I really truly believe that the amount of processed foods in conjunction with how you prep your food really does have an effect on your overall inflammation and how fast you're aging over time. So in animal studies, so this would be in mice in particular, a reduction of the advanced glycation end products by 50% of their usual intake reduced levels of oxidative stress, reduced insulin insensitivity, so it reduced their amount of glucose hanging out and not being used in their bloodstream, and it increased their kidney function. And also they found that these mice lived longer, so it increased their lifespan. That's pretty darn cool. So if you know anyone that has diabetes or is pre-diabetic or someone who has cholesterol issues, has atherosclerosis, a hardening of the arteries, and has higher blood pressure, I would highly recommend having them take a look at how they're processing their food, so how they're prepping their food, and how much processed food that they're eating. I think it's really, really important for them to take an assessment of the animal proteins that they eat and how they're being made, whether they're buying them from somewhere or if they're making them from home. Start to focus on stews, soups, steaming, poaching, braising foods versus cooking with dry heat. Absolutely huge. Use moisture in your cooking. Use low heat. Takeaway right there. That's it. If you focus on nothing else from this podcast, start cooking with moisture and low heat and you'll be good to go. So even those who have the beginning stages of kidney failure, I think this is really important to start to look at how they are prepping their food, because this can go a long, long way. Now, say you have none of those issues and you just are starting to notice that your skin's getting wrinklier, you're starting to notice some aches and pains, some tendon and ligament issues. This is where you want to be looking at reducing the AGEs in your diet, because you can make a huge impact here, because these are the beginning signs. The kidney stuff and the diabetes, these are later stages. Your wrinkles are just the beginning. Your stiffness of your muscles, tendons, ligaments, your injuries, these are your beginning signs. Pain. So this is applicable to everybody out there. So I want you guys to go out there and look at your food prep and see what you can change to reduce your AGEs in your diet. And let me know how you do and let me know how you feel. Give it 4 weeks, maybe do a pre and post kind of you know, test and see. I'd love to hear from you guys. Now, of course, as always, on drjkrausnd.com, I have my resources. So I have a list of foods high in AGEs. I have some research studies if you want to read up a little bit more and need to hand something off to a family member to convince them to change their diet and lifestyle habits. I've got it there for you. So if you're looking for that, head over to drjkrausnd.com. If you're wondering what those lab tests were that I spewed out in terms of being able to monitor how you're doing in terms of inflammation-wise and how your kidneys are doing, go over to drjkrausnd.com. I will also have all those lab tests there too. And this is episode 112, so feel free to click on that and it'll be right there in my show notes. Okay, everybody, I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Much as I've loved giving you the information. You all have a great day, whatever you're doing. Hey everybody, Dr. Janine Kraus here. If you liked what you heard today, then head over to drjkrausnd.com to find my free resources and information to know when I post something new that's juicy that you might want to check out. Plus, head over to where you get your podcasts and like, subscribe, and write a review to help get the word out about me and help others at the same time to find me. It really does help, and I really appreciate all of your reviews.